Exodus chapter number 4, if you got your Bibles, you're able to, let's stand together. Exodus chapter 4, ain't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? And I appreciate everything that I've heard and felt in my heart, and I'm thankful for the Lord. I appreciate what the Lord's done for us. Exodus chapter number 4, I ain't said it in a while, but just in case anybody wanted to know, the Lord saved my whole family on June 3rd. Amen. And I'm still pretty excited about that. I ain't got over that yet. And you say he ain't saved mine. Well, I'm praying for him too. I'm praying for him too. And listen, he will. If they'll just mind God, he will, won't he? God's a perfect gentleman. He won't force himself on nobody. But I'll tell you, he's so kind and gentle. He, with open arms, he'll accept anybody. If you'll come, he'll accept you just like you are. Say, preacher, I need to do this and I need to do that. Don't worry about all that stuff. You just come to the Lord. Let the Lord take care of all that fixing. Amen. You ain't never going to get fixed, thank God. But I'll promise you, you come to him, he'll make you a new creature. Bible says in Exodus chapter number 4, picking up the story, of course, in Exodus chapter number 3, Moses has been called. He's been at the burning bush. And now in Exodus chapter 4, we find, like everybody else, first we have a problem with our own self. And we come up with all of our excuses. And then the next thing, we try to figure out how everybody else is going to respond. But I am not responsible today for how you receive the gospel. Amen. Bible says in verse 1, said Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. He called and said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground. It became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, take it by the tail. He put forth his hand, caught it. It became a rod in his hand. He said, if they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Notice verse 17. The Bible says, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Verse number 20, the Bible says this, and Moses took his wife, his sons, and he set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, we sure do need your help today. God, we're sure thankful for the Sunday school hour. God, thankful for the prayer room. God, I'm thankful for the good choir singing. God, thankful for every special that was sung. God, I sure am appreciative today, Lord, of what you've done for us and in our life. And God, as certainly as we got to think it and have said already, Lord, I sure am glad, God, that you saved me. And Lord, I thank you that you saved my family. And Lord, I pray that there be a sinner here today that does not know you in a free pardon of sin. I pray that you'd save them today. And God, I'd ask you today that should give us anointing and an unction with which no man can preach without. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us. And God, you'd put a guard at my mouth. I'd not say one thing and be contrary to the word and the will of God. I'd ask you today, Lord, help make preaching easy. And God, I pray that you'd set my affections and my heart and my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, that you'd deliver the message through us today. And Father, we sure do thank you for all you've done. I bless your high and holy name. It's in Christ's name I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily in the question who's asked in verse number 2. Here's what the Lord said unto him. He asked him a question and he says simply, what is that that's in thine head? Boy, I got thinking about how many folks, I mean, listen, we come up in this thing saved by the grace of God and we talk about how we want to serve God, but we always find many excuses on why we don't. Amen. Boy, I got thinking about that. I was talking with a fella one time, and I don't even remember where it was at, and who I said first this. I got this off somebody, but I was talking to him about coming to church, and he said, well, what do you think about it? I said, well, if I was going to give an excuse, I think I'd say the temperature in Antarctica is a negative 35 degrees. He said, why would would you say that? That don't even make sense. I said one excuse is just as good as the next one. Amen. It doesn't matter, thank God, what they are. You can dress it up however you want to. But thank God, one excuse is just the same as the next one. Amen. And so we've got Moses in this place. And as Moses stands here in this state, he's asking God, and he said, God, they ain't going to hear me. And God, they ain't going to believe me. But the Lord says, and he asked him a question. He said, what do you got in your hand? Boy, I got thinking about this. And now if this was a Baptist conversation, there'd be a few things that have to be fixed right here. And the first thing you need to understand is the Lord didn't ask him about what was in somebody else's hand. Amen. And thank God, thank God. I'll tell you what, we're just real careful. I mean, if we ain't real careful, what we'll do? We'd serve God with somebody else's talent, but we ain't interested in serving him with what's in our hand. Amen. Oh, thank God. Listen, I'm telling you, friend, there's a lot of folks that know where they said at. They've said things like this. If I could say it like that, if I could preach like that, if I could sing like that, if I could testify like that, boy, surely I would. But thank God, what about what's in your hand? Amen. Thank God. Listen, I'm telling you, everybody's got to start somewhere. Amen. You understand tonight, all those preachers that went in days gone by, I mean the Harold Sattlers and all those Mays Jacksons and all those, you know they didn't start off like that. Everybody all right? They didn't start off, thank God, in that place where everybody was quoting them. They started off with a Bible. They started off with a message. They started where they was, doing what they could with what they had in their hand. Amen. But in our day, if we're not real careful, we want to dictate what's in somebody else's hand. I'll even say this, thank God. Well, not only is it, but would I do it if I had their talent? But then I get mad at them for not doing it. Amen. Somebody help me right there. That's right. I don't know why in the world, if somebody could sing like that, I don't know why they don't do it every service. If somebody could preach like that, I don't know why they don't try to mind the Lord everywhere. But that's not the question this morning. The question this morning is what's in your hand. Amen. Thank God, what's in my hand? Listen, friend, it's one thing. That's one thing to tell everybody else and what they ought to do. But the Lord asked him a question, and he said, what's in your hand? Amen. Thank God. Listen, I don't know how long that to Moses had been carrying the old shepherd's staff, but at some point in time, he's standing there, and he's looking up at God, and he's saying, God, they ain't going to believe me. And the Lord said, what's in your hand? And he pulls out a little shepherd's staff. He said, this is all I got. And to thank God, good news. Amen. That's all he needed. Amen. I really want to preach what I feel like the Lord wants me to. But what I want you to understand this morning is the Lord is not looking for the spectacular. Amen. And that's not even going to get the job done. And we want somebody that's a great orator. And we want somebody that's spectacular. But I have found over and over again, the only thing we really need is somebody that is in tune with God to say what God said and leave it alone. Amen. I think so many times, I tell people this all the time in this service, but whenever Brother Frills came to preach that day, and he preached at Amazing Grace, and on the way down through here, he talked about how he had one message on his heart. He said, but the whole way I was coming to Amazing Grace, he said, I couldn't get Psalms 23 off my mind. And you remember that? He got up there in the pulpit. Of course, my dad just got diagnosed with leukemia. I said, while he was sitting there, y'all remember that morning? And dad said that morning that while he was sitting there, he said, God just gave me Psalms 23:1. And the old preacher stood up that night. He didn't have a fancy message, thank God. He said, I had a message, but I can't get one verse off my heart. He said, Psalms 23:1. And the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And to thank God, the power of God just fell. It's not about knowing what to say. It's not about having the best words. I thank God, it's about being in tune with the God of glory. Amen. I'm telling you, in our day, I was talking with a fellow the other day. And listen, fellow, this is what he said. He said, unction of God. He said, ask any preacher. They don't know where it comes from. They ain't figured out how to order it. But one thing is for sure, they know when they ain't got it. Amen. And I'll tell you, that's right. Amen.
And these times you stand up in the pulpit, and Brother John's like, you're standing in that place at where the, I mean, that one feller said, that's standing under the spout where the glory runs out. It's like God's just pouring it down. And then there's other times you stand in this pulpit, and it's like being in the Sahara Desert. And thank God, 10,000 miles from water. And listen, I want you to understand, it's not even you that makes the difference. Amen. And thank God, but when a fella can get hooked in, and when he can get a hold of God, and he knows what he's saying, it's what thus saith the word of God. And that's where the prayer's from. Amen. Yes, sir, friend. I'm telling you, thank God, what's in your hand. Amen. And Moses is sitting there, and I thought about what was in his hand. I thought, I'll give you three or four things, and I'm going to be done. First of all, I thought about the availability of it. And Moses standing in this place. I want you to understand this staff. It didn't just show up overnight. And what you find is his. Instead of a shepherd wanting to use a staff, the first thing he had to do was dig it out. If they wanted a special one that came out. But John, I'm sure you've studied about it much. But they wanted one end of that to be a weapon. And they liked a particular root. And so they had to dig it up out of the ground. And they dug it up out of the ground, Benny. And the first thing they done when they got it out of the dirt was they washed it and they cleaned it up. And now about 3 points into this, y'all start getting with me. Amen. But I'm talking about how God uses a tool. Amen. And the first thing he does, thank God, he pulled it up from the earth. And this is what it said. And so then they would start cutting on that thing and start trying to smooth it out. And for the last 40 years, and Moses has been smoothing out his shepherd's staff. Amen. And this brother, look here, neighbor. You can't make your stuff up. This is what it said, Pap. It said that that crook that comes in that staff, it don't come naturally. And so they take that staff and they put it in the fire and they heat it and they bend it and then they pull it out and they let it cool and then they put it back in the fire and they bend it and then they pull it out and they let it cool and then they stick it back in the fire and they pull it out and let it cool. And that's what it said. It said after they get done with all that, and that said the old shepherd, and the old shepherd reached down in his pocket and he pulled out some oil, and it said he would just begin and to pour that oil over that staff. He's trying to lock in the moisture. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, thank God. I don't know if you know it or not, but that's what God does with us. Amen. Oh yeah, he didn't find you in heaven. Amen. He got you out of the dirt of the earth. Thank God. I know who I'm preaching to, amen. God didn't find us way up high here. But thank God, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that'll reach way down to where we was. I'll say this to you, friend. I was thinking about this, and Brother Josh was trying not to offend preachers. I'm going to try to offend as many as I can, amen. I'm going to tell you what I have found out about preachers. This is what I've, now listen, I can say this. I've been preaching a mighty good spell, and I can tell you what I found out about them. And Brother Sanders, I believe you'll attest to this. If you find a preacher, what you'll find is the biggest nobody you've ever seen in the whole world. It's not usually somebody that's a real talented or real good. And you know why that is, Brother Nathaniel. I thank God so that whenever God uses somebody and like Shannon or God uses Kristen, everybody's got to stop back and they got to look and they got to say, it has to be the Lord. Amen. It has to be God. I used to know where them. I knew where they came from. I knew what God's pulled them out of. I thought about Dustin and that conversation with Kayla. And whenever Dustin was being called to preach, and of those of you that's listening to Dustin preach now, you would never believe. We was all concerned if we could even hear him. Amen. And then I got Brother Matt Garrett out preaching this morning, and the first time he got up behind the pulpit, it was just like this. And nobody ever even heard him say 10 words. But thank God, then he got up, and the power of God just sat on him. And so everybody steps back, and it's not about their talents, it's about God. Amen. And one of the most special things that ever happened in this church, as far as I'm concerned, he's out working this morning. But it's whenever a fellow sits in this seat right here, right where I'm sitting at, and all of a sudden Brother Wayne Ipock stands up. And look here, friend, if you're in this church, you already know when Brother Ipock stands up right there, it's going to be some of the best preaching you'll ever hear anywhere. Amen. You know why it's that way? Because there's a God in heaven that's just used what's in their hand. Right. Nothing spectacular. Let me say this to you. That old staff, there's nothing spectacular about a staff. Amen. Moses didn't need a staff, Ricky. No, Moses needed an army. And Moses needed a gun. And Moses needed a weapon. And Moses needed power. But God said, no. Hey, you don't need that army. Hey, you don't need chariots. Hey, you don't need horses. He said, just take what's in your hand and let me use it. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you, friend, it'll be a happy day in your life. I can just see most of my, I'm trying to get there. It's coming so fast, I can't get it out. But I'm trying real hard, all right? But I'm saying, oh, Moses, standing there, I can see Brother John say, Lord, you could have used me better when I had a scepter in my hand. I used to have a scepter in my hand. Why didn't you use me when I had a scepter in my hand? That God couldn't use him when he had a scepter. Oh, Moses would have took credit for it, Brother Christian. And most would have said, look what I done. I've got the power of Egypt. I've got the power of Pharaoh. And so listen, here's what I'm saying. Hey, some folks, they want to go back and do something with what used to be in their hand. But it ain't in your hand no more. Amen. I thank God at some point in time, it's not about what was in your hand. It's not even about what's going to be in your hand. It's about what's in your hand right now. Amen. Oh, listen.
Thank God.
I would to God there'd be some folks today. I was thinking about this. Now, look here. And I'm honest. I'm ashamed of myself a little bit. And I'm going to confess my fault for you. I was thinking about this. I thought, Lord, I like to use things that I can see. And I like to do that because that's what Jesus did. Amen. How about that? Ain't that what he done? Thank God. Thank God that's what he done. Amen. He would use the tares and the wheat. He would use the robbers. He would use everything that he saw. And the boy, the youth choir got up here. And you know what was in Amanda's hand? She had a kid in her hand. And the boy and old Amanda got a hold of little Elizabeth. And Elizabeth had one hand lifted up as we were singing. And the Holy Ghost got to convicting me. And Juliet said she ain't got any idea why she's raising her hand. But you know why. So the question is, why is her hand raised and yours ain't? And the boy, if that didn't bother me enough. And then she put two up in the air. And she got two of them up there. And listen. Hey, listen, cat before. And she ever got two. And the Lord said, you ought to put up one. But then she put up two. And the Holy Ghost said, too late. Too late. Amen. I've already used somebody that had something in their hand. I'm telling you, thank God. Now listen, this, it's important how to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's important in the house of God. And not just to have a song. And not just to have a message. But to know when it's the right one. Amen. And to mind God, thank God. And little is much when God's in it. And thank God, just do what God have you to do. Amen. Oh, I thought about the availability of it. Hey, listen, Moses been carrying this thing around for 40 years and didn't have any idea how special it was. And I got, now this is how, I don't know, you do whatever you want to with it. It's how the Holy Ghost put in my heart. I was sitting there and I was holding that Bible. I was sitting in my little study, just like this. I was reading it. And the Holy Ghost got to dealing with me about what's in my hand. And I thought, Lord, I ain't even got a staff in my hand. I ain't even got a staff in my hand. And the Holy Ghost said, oh no. I got a sharp two-edged sword, thank God. I mean, look here, friend. Hey, listen, it don't matter who's carrying it, Pap. If it's you, got a hold of it. If it's him, got a hold of it. And thank God when that book gets lifted up. Hey, listen, good neighbor, it's good enough to help every person here. Amen.
Amen.
What you got in your hand? Boy, I just thank you whenever Dave's up here singing. I remember when I held him. I remember when he was like Elizabeth. Boy, and I held him everywhere he went. I held Evan, held Owen, but now, Brother John, I got to look up to Davis. He's not in my hand no more. You understand what I'm saying? He's not in my hand no more. Mamas, daddies, I hope to God you'll listen to me right here. Let me help you. When they're real little and they're in your hand, I'm talking about they're right there where you got a hold of them. Boy, do everything you can to train them toward the Lord. Do everything you can to make sure that they understand this isn't a have to, but it's a get to. It's not a curse, but it's an honor to get to serve the God of glory. I'm talking about, thank God, train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. I'm talking about point them to Christ's neighbor and tell them it is the good way. And I'm for everything else. I'm for balls, but don't put a ball before the Bible. Amen. Make sure while they're in your hand, you train them to God. Amen. It's going to be a time they're not going to be in your hand no more. You're going to look back and you're going to say, oh, preacher, I wish that's still in my hand. Well, and some of you listen, when I say that, Brother David, conviction just falls because there's people and they say, I don't have that in my hand no more. And listen, I understand that, Brother Doug. I understand, as we've already said, if any one of us could go back, Brother Don, if we could go back when we was 15 or 16, there's a lot of things we'd have got out of our hands, and there's a lot of things we'd put back in our hands, Ethan. There's a lot of things, thank God, we'd make sure never saw our fingertips. But oh, listen, I can't do nothing about those days. You say, preacher, what do you do with it? I repented of it, 1 John 1:9. And then I listen, Philippians chapter number 3. I forget those things that are behind me. I press forward to those things that are before. Hey, they're not in my hands no more. But I still got some that are, amen. I still got some that are, thank God. I understand I've got some men in here, and they used to be in my hands. I mean, I used to be able to hold them and play. And now they're gone. They're not in our hands no more. But I'm saying this, some of them's got their own kids now. What are you going to do with what's in your hands? Amen. He asked, don't die on me. He asked him a question. He said, what's in your hands? Listen, there ain't nothing you can do about yesterday. You say, preacher, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm talking about reality, not dreams. I'm talking about what is in your hands right now. Who is in your reach right now? What can you do for the glory of God right now? Amen. You say, not much. From whose eyes? From whose point of view? Amen. I understand. Hallelujah. Listen, I understand in the day we're in, folks are interested in what looks good and shines up real good. But I've done been around this too long, Brother Savage. I've done seen too many saints of God not do too much. But they've done it in the power of God, Brother John. And Brother Samuel, when they've done it, I'm talking about, listen, I will never, as long as I live and God helps me, forget the last time Huey Hines sat right here and it got good. Him just coming up from his seat, and there's more God on that, and I've heard it 1,000 preachers. Amen. You know why? Because God was just using what was in his hand. There's the availability of it. He said, what's in your hands? And then there's the authority of it. Here's the trick of this thing. I want you to understand this. If we're ever going to do anything, the first thing we got to do is see what's in our hands. And then we got to get it out of our hands and get it in his hands. That's right. Hallelujah, amen. And the best decision you'll ever do as a mom and dad is realize you ain't going to be much of a mom or dad. Amen. And you say, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. But there's a God in heaven, and he's been taking pretty good care of his kids. He's been taking pretty good care of us, I'd say. Why don't I get what's in my hands and put it in his? Amen. Listen, Joseph committed his character into God. God done okay with that, I'd say. Don't you guess that's right? Listen, what happens is this, as Moses said, man, it's just a staff. It's a special staff. It's his staff. Boy, and he gets out there, and the Lord says, one point in time, Moses gets ready to go down there, and it's no longer a rod. It's no longer this rod. Boy, when he shows up. I like that. I don't know if nobody else likes it or not. Hey, man, listen, I don't know what happened. I'm just telling you, he shows up down there and all of a sudden it transitions. Yeah. And it's no longer his, but it's God's. Yeah. And boy, when he shows up and it's God's, now business is about to pick up. Amen. Yeah. A business is about to pick up. And when you take whatever's in your hands and you give it to God. Folks have baby dedication services. And listen, I don't care nothing. If you want to do it, hallelujah. I'm for it. I'm not for baby baptizing, but you want to dedicate. But I'm going to tell you this, thank God, there's more to it than just getting up on a stage, sitting in a few chairs and having a special prayer. Thank God you dedicated here. But when you go back home, it never don't get dedicated. There, and what happened here is not going to do too much. Amen. Good preacher. Amen. Amen. Preacher. Thank you. Thank you. That's the truth. Amen. Good preacher. Now we get in the house of God, and here's where we're at in our day. We're in a place where we want everybody to see what's going on, but the power don't come. Power don't come from folks getting up and just saying, today I believe I'll do this. You know where it comes from? Down on their knees, spending time with God. Moses didn't show up, Brother Keith, overnight with a staff in his hand, but for 40 years out wandering in the desert. I'm sure he won a few battles with that staff. I'm sure he beat off a few wolves. I'm sure he fought a few foxes. I'm sure he knocked off a few things in his life, a few enemies trying to steal it. Now all of a sudden he's a proven shepherd, amen. The Lord didn't need him to be a king. The Lord wanted a shepherd, amen. And when he got to be a shepherd, it was time for God to use him, amen. You say, preach, I'd like to be used of God. Some folks won't never be used of God because they're too good to be used by him. Too good. They're doing God a favor by showing up. I'm about to. Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what'll help. But not just. I'm not talking about just Kevin. Tammy, I'm talking about Tammy, Kyle, I'm talking about Rob. I'm talking about all of us. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? There's an authority. God brings this thing down there, and I want you to understand with what was in his hand. Once he put it in God's hand, that rod all of a sudden wasn't just a staff just to get a few sheep. All of a sudden he raised that rod up and there's a Red Sea parted up. I ain't gonna mess things up again tonight on that Red Sea getting congealed in them dragons, but they are there and some of you found out about it. He raised that up, thank God, and what was in his hand showed them the right way. I'm gonna ask you this, what's in your hand? Listen, hey dads. If all you got's a remote in your hand, now listen to me. Don't throw nothing at me, but if you do, you'll probably miss anyway. Better be real careful when that remote's in your hand, that what it points to, don't take away from this right here.
Go ahead.
Make sure whatever's in your hand. If you're going to come and you're going to teach your children how to do what's right, you can tell them till you're blue in the face. Yeah. Boy, if you just lead them.
Oh my.
Dads, help, for the godly man ceaseth. Dads, can I help you for just a bit? I know I'm going to make... Boy, my intention, I'm so happy. My intention is not to bring you down today. But I want you to understand... There's going to come a time I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Dustin, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And God is not going to say, Allison, why wasn't those boys in church? God's not going to say, Allison, why didn't you lead your home better? Allison, why didn't you pray with those boys? No, listen, look here, good neighbor. That's my wife. That's my helpmeet sitting about however how many pews is right here. But this is not her responsibility. Everybody understand that? Now, I've got ladies in here that it's had to be your responsibility. And thank God for you. Amen. Thank God for you. Thank God. Thank God when some sorry men dropped the ball that we had some ladies pick it up and do what they had to do. Amen. But it's not hers. It's not hers to make sure the kids are ready and time to go to church. Amen, preacher. It's, look here. It's not on her. I'm going to take it a step further. It's not on her to get the kids ready and you. Not her responsibility to explain to the children why they got to go and then talk to the husband and why he ain't going hunting. You say, I'm a man, thank God. I'm going to be the man. Wait till the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, when you have to stand before a fiery-eyed God and give an account of what was in your hand. Going to be a day we're going to stand up. I'm about done. Day's a day we're going to stand before God. You mark it down. Every one of us shall give an account of himself.
That's right.
I won't give an account of Shannon. I'll give an account of Pat. I won't give an account of Owen. I'll give an account of myself. And I thought about three hands that I don't want to show up there with. I'm done preaching, Jonah. This is it. Number one, I don't want to show up with empty hands. Can you imagine looking at the Savior of all glory who left heaven, filled his hands full of nails, died on an old rugged cross, and whenever we stand before him, and he says, what'd you do with what I gave you? Matthew chapter 25 be you a reference point for that. Gives him 1, 3, 5. One fellow goes and hides it in the ground, and when the Bible says whenever he shows back up, he says, where is it at?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I hid it.
Right.
I wonder how many of us got something we're holding in our hands right now that's hidden.
Oh, yeah. God help us.
Hidden.
Uh-oh.
What's in your hand?
Yeah.
I don't want to show up with empty hands. Mm-hmm. I don't want to show up with dirty hands.
Right.
James chapter 4, he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want to take what God's put in my hand. Y'all help me pray right here. Y'all help me pray. Caleb, this would be a good place for everybody to help me pray. I say folks this all the time. One of the things I'll give an account for is this church. Yeah, that's why it's serious.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We stand here today, and I don't want to get to heaven with Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And God said, what'd you do with them?
Right. Oh, yeah.
And my answer is, I got them real dirty.
Yeah.
We started allowing in music that we shouldn't have had.
Yeah.
And Bibles we shouldn't have had.
Preach.
And doctrine we shouldn't have had.
Right,
it's serious.
Very.
I don't want to make shipwreck. Rod, I don't want to make shipwreck.
Right.
I don't want to take what God's put in my hand. I mean, listen to me. Y'all listen to me.
Yes, sir.
Please, please, please hear me. I really feel the Holy Ghost helping us, but hear me. If God put something in your hands or somebody in your hands, he must have thought an awful lot of you to do it.
Right. That's right.
And if you preachers are carrying this right here and God put it in your hand and it ain't serious, just keep your seat until it is.
That's good.
We don't want to show up with empty hands. We don't want to show up with dirty hands. I'm going to tell you this, Daniel. One day you're going to stand before God, Mike. We're going to stand there. And the one thing we for sure don't want, we don't want to stand before God with bloody hands. Ezekiel chapter 33. Allison, come on up here to the piano, honey. Ezekiel chapter 33. He said, man, listen, if you sound the trumpet, if they get right, thank God.
Yeah.
Jess, if they don't get right, that ain't on you. But if God's put something in your hands and you don't use it for the glory of God, Rodney, there's going to be a day all these people that we're around, all these things God's put in our hands, we're going to have to give an account for it. And if when God gives an account for that, God starts dealing in your heart, you don't want to stand up there and say, God, you gave it to me, but I didn't do nothing with it. People die and go to hell. Stand to your feet. I've cleared my heart. I don't know where you're at.